It's Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We started our series on heart failure earlier this week with the familiar sound of a healthy heart. What you're hearing now is the sound of an artificial heart. It belongs to Kathleen Shores, a 45-year-old Wisconsin heart failure patient. She's small in stature, and the damage to her heart was extensive, so Kathleen couldn't use other mechanical devices to keep her alive. So last November, her doctors at Frederick Hospital, including Claudius Marr and Surgeon Robert Love, took out her organic heart and replaced it with a device called a total artificial heart. And that's exactly what it sounds like. Shores is one of only 100 or so patients with a device who have gone home and lived their daily lives while waiting for a transplant. She tells Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce what having a mechanical heart feels like.
That amazing sound is the sound of life. November 1st of 2012, I received an artificial heart, and what you're listening to is what's known as the Freedom Driver. This allows me to go home and wait for my heart at home instead of being in the hospital waiting for my donor.
Well, take us back to the beginning when you first began experiencing heart failure and how you got to this option.
Well, I think what's important for the audience to know is that I was misdiagnosed when I was 16 with having congenital heart disease of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. I was diagnosed with mono, and that says a lot for how far our industry has become as far as making sure that doctors are more predominant with being aware about women and heart disease. Very textbook case, so it's very active as a teenager, and then it goes dormant when you're in your 20s, and mine did come back in my 30s after I had my children.
And what does that do to your heart? Explain in layman's terms, if you will.
Hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is excessive thickening of the heart tissue. And when that happens, your heart is not able to pump the correct amount of blood through it that it needs to get to your lungs for oxygen. In addition to the cardiomyopathy, I did end up with multiple arrhythmias that also make it challenging for the heart to beat at a normal pace.
What were the symptoms you were experiencing as this was progressing?
In my 30s, it was the fatigue was unbelievable, and the lightheadedness and the dizzy spells. But the fatigue was the worst. And, of course, heart palpitations that sometimes you just really start to take for granted because you're so used to them after a while, but it really is necessary to get those symptoms checked out and be an advocate for yourself. And if you don't have a doctor that isn't listening to you, you need to get one that will listen to you.
Is that what happened with you?
That is definitely what happened with me. So that's why I'm very much an advocate for Go Red for Women, to get word out there about women need to also take care of themselves and not just the home and their husband and their kids.
Tell us about your life. What was going on in your life as you were experiencing this extreme fatigue, the palpitations, all of that?
I was a new mom. My kids were only 3 and 4 years old at the time. And even though when I was carrying my second child and I was talking to my OB at the time about how tired I was told, well, of course you're tired because you have a little one at home. And my boys are only 15 months apart, so it definitely was a challenge. And then after I finally had the babies and I couldn't take it no more, I would get up in the morning giving them their sippy cup of milk, and I'd have to lay down on the couch. And then I could get up and then I could get them breakfast, and I'd have to go lay back down on the couch. And that's finally when I just finally put my foot down and was raring to go to make sure I was going to get a doctor that was going to listen to me. And you know what? A simple EKG machine was all it took, was for it to come back abnormal. And then I started my journey to get my answers that I needed. But it was still a long road ahead of me. I still had doctors that didn't believe that I had arrhythmias, even though they had found the cardiomyopathy early on. And you know, it just took lots of tests, but well, looking back, I really feel that more could have been done sooner, but at the same time, thank goodness for every single one of my doctors, because I am living proof that we have just got a team of wonderful experts here at Frater that took wonderful care of me and are still taking wonderful care of me.
So when did you finally receive the diagnosis?
I received the diagnosis in 99. Last year, however, my congestive heart failure got the best of my heart, and we started to change my medications to try to help keep up with my heart and the different arrhythmias that I was experiencing. And we weren't realizing that I was retaining an excessive amount of hidden fluid. And finally, at the end of the year last year, is when they realized that the congestive heart failure is a lot worse than what we had thought it was, and actually lost 27 pounds of fluid once I came in the hospital and they put me through the diuresis program. But then that's also at the same time when they realized that an artificial heart was going to be my only choice of survival because it wouldn't support having an LVAD that they initially had thought I could have.
Why wasn't the LVAD an option for you compared with the artificial heart?
It's my understanding that the right ventricle needs to be strong enough to support this new pump that's being added to the left side of the heart. And my right ventricle was failing just as fast as my left side was. So putting in that pump was actually going to be not an option.
So were you familiar with this as an option?
I was not familiar at all. It came as a total surprise. They came in on October 31st and said, tomorrow, you're getting your artificial heart. They came with a model of what it looked like, and they started running all the tests and pretty much said, this is your only option. And thank goodness this option was out there for me.
But I would imagine that's pretty scary to figure, okay, I'm going to have this artificial creation keeping me alive.
I didn't have time to be scared. I really didn't. It's okay, this I'm not ready to give up, and let's do it. I didn't have reason to be scared because I didn't know anybody that's ever been through it to know how it was going to differ. Anything had to be better than what I was going through at the time.
And describe that for us. I mean, what is it like living with congestive heart failure that's getting progressively worse like this?
It's miserable.
It's about all you can say, huh?
That's all I can say.
What were the physical symptoms like?
Driving actually got hard because you don't realize it, but when your legs are filling up with fluid, it makes them heavier to move from pedal to pedal. I could hardly walk from my car to my office without having to stop and just breathe. You can't eat because there was so much fluid building up in my abdomen that it was crushing my organs. And so consequently, you didn't want to eat. And I coughed for 3 months straight. At the time, bronchitis was out there and the whooping cough, you know, we were checking for all of that. And in the process, what was also happening is that they thought I had gallbladder problems because the symptoms of gallbladder disease and heart disease actually mirror each other. It's very hard to distinguish between the two. So when I came in the hospital in June, they were actually going to take my gallbladder out. They thought that that was the problem. And then that's when I flatlined in the hospital. And needless to say, I didn't have my gallbladder taken out. It was the congestive heart failure.
Tell us about how the machine works.
This machine, for those listeners out there who don't see it, it's kind of like one of them small vacuum cleaners that you have at your house that you can put your attachments on. It's about the size of it. It's in the backpack. It's 15 pounds. It's got two hoses attached to it that go through my abdomen and attach to my heart. And it's run on batteries, and those batteries allow the machine to pump compressed air into my heart, which in turn dictates to the vacuums that are inside each chamber how much blood is getting pumped in and pumped out then.
What does it feel like? Can you describe what it feels like?
You just feel your heartbeat constantly. I'm going at 130 beats per minute is what it's running at. I'm sure you can hear it. It sounds like galloping. It sounds like a baby's ultrasound when you hear the heartbeats. I actually don't even really feel it anymore. I'm so used to it. But I'm running on power constantly. I'm either on battery power or I can plug the unit in at home and run off the electric at the home. Or I can even have an adapter where I plug in at the car and I can run off the car battery.
That's pretty amazing.
It is really amazing. It's like being plugged into my smart car, but I have a smart heart. Yeah.
What have you felt like since you've gotten the artificial heart?
Amazing. I haven't felt this good in years because I'm finally getting all the oxygen that I was supposed to have and I haven't had for years. Recovering from the surgery is still, of course, what I'm doing. I'm trying to get my sternum to heal fully, and then, of course, lugging this thing around. It's really heavy, but I have a baby stroller that I plop it in, and I use that to get around outside so I don't have to carry it.
What about for your children? You know, how did you explain to them, this is mommy's new heart?
Luckily, my children are teenagers, and you take that as you will. They're wonderfully inquisitive and very much in shock, but at the same time, they knew that this is just the way it is. They've grown up with my heart disease. It's nothing new to them. And of course, the kids are so used to technology that it's incredible for them to see, but at the same time, they're not as shocked about it as I am because I didn't grow up with all this technology.
Do you feel like it's allowed you to focus on parts of life other than your illness?
I think it's definitely allowed me to heal a lot faster. Being able to be at home and at the comforts of my house definitely makes for a more relaxed environment, and getting outside and getting vitamin D and the fresh air and the sunshine and doing lots of friends time with the family and shopping and eating and exercising has definitely helped with my recovery.
As opposed to being in the hospital.
Correct. Home cooking is wonderful, and I did have and do continue to have great relations with my doctors and nurses on the cardiology floor, and they take very good care of me. When I was in for a total of 8 months, there's definitely some bonds that have formed that I think will be lifetime bonds for me.
Do you have fears, though, with this artificial heart? I mean, is it scary knowing you're running off of power, off of a battery power, or that it's plugged in?
Definitely. I think I'm very anxious. I'm in desperate need of a new heart, and I want to make sure all your listeners out there are organ donors and that they're talking to all their friends and their family that this is a necessity of life. And yeah, there's definitely days where I get up and think, I can't believe I have to lug this thing around again. This is so heavy. And then the thought's gone because without it, I wouldn't be here.
So what's the next step for you then? Is it just waiting for a donor heart?
Waiting for my phone call and getting my heart and then going on with the rest of my life and maybe a trip to Hawaii.
Kathleen, if you had one thing that you could tell our listeners about your experience and what you want them to know about heart failure, what would it be?
Go to the doctor and get your symptoms looked at. You know if you're feeling good or if you're feeling bad. And if after you make the changes that they have given you to give you a better quality of life and you still don't feel good, maybe it's time to go elsewhere or make those diet changes, get the exercise program. You only get the one life. And trust me, I'm very blessed to have this second go at it after flatlining last year. The best gift you can give yourself is living a very healthy life for yourself.
Well, Kathleen Shores, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Kathleen Shores has lived with a total artificial heart since last November while she awaits a transplant. She spoke with Stephanie Lecce. Earlier in our series, we heard from her doctors at Frederick, Claudius Marr, and Robert Love. And you can hear all the parts of our series at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. President Obama has taken an outspoken position on breed-restrictive laws involving dogs, much to the delight of one Wisconsin group. We'll learn more in a moment on WUWM.